closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
.com/1360-97.5 WTAQ News Talk Sports. Guest producer Aaron Rodgers running the board today for the Jerry Bader Show. Well, that's what it says on your back. It's a number 12. They don't just let anyone wear it. Oh, I guess actually they do. I forgot to wear mine today. But given the fact that it's preseason and I honestly don't care whether they win or lose, I really don't. This is the third preseason game, and it's really the most notable. I haven't heard what probably first half, I would assume, Rodgers et al. Would play, and then you got to get into evaluating. I am just trying to keep my expectations in check, but this is about as optimistic as I felt about the Green Bay Packers in a long, long time. I mean, In 2010, I thought they were Super Bowl contenders. But even then, I didn't. Here's the feeling I get. And I'm actually going to get into a Packers topic that's not necessarily a football topic here to start the show. So this is a good way to transition into it. Jason, doesn't it feel like they have the potential to be the most complete team in a long time? And Slow down, Jerry. I mean, in through the nose, out through the mouth. I mean, just up and down the roster on both sides of the football. It just feels as complete. Yes, but. Is there a yeah, but? No, there is no but. It's just yes, huh? Yet you believe there's something they need to do. I think receivers could be surprising. I think the defense is going to be surprising. Young players, see, you think they need to step up. I just get the feeling they're going to. And maybe that's where there's no rational thought process behind that. It's just a belief system. I believe the defense is going to be better. It could be substantially better. But we'll see. There are going to be growing pains, I agree. How quickly do they? That's what I think we're both saying. How quickly do they get to there? And it's, who knows? Very difficult to say. I think the Seahawks game to start the season is about as good as it can get for the Green Bay Packers, because I still think the Seahawks are the best team in the NFL. They are certainly the best team in the NFC. I would be shocked were that not the case. My belief, and it's just my belief, that the Packers have surpassed the 49ers as the second best team. But we'll find all this out. And, of course, it all comes down to health. We had a couple of moments early in training camp. Otherwise, as I knock all over the place on Formica, it's been quiet. And quiet is good in training camp. Quiet is good. Oh, let me see that one. Three men make their pick for the greatest Packer. I have to get to the non-football Packer topic here, but we're finding all of these things. Clark Hinkle. What was the other one? Johnny Blood McNally. And Dave Hanner. They're not saying, though, that's not their pick for the three top, or is it? I think two, if you're going to pick the top three Packers, I think two of the three are easy. It's got to be Barton Brett. I just don't know how you get past that. I'm not saying it's easy, but I think while you can make arguments for other players in terms of dominance, Favre dominating for the era that he did, star dominating championship play the way that he did. I just think it's very, very difficult. Then the third would have to be Don Hutson. Because as I've said many times, I think he's one of the few throwback players that would be a dominant receiver in the NFL today. And I just still believe that. Imagine if he had a modern NFL quarterback throwing to him. It's unthinkable. I mean, it's just if you look at his physical specs, he was he could play in today's game. Isn't that a pretty slam dunkish? Favre, Starr, and Hudson. I don't know. You know, then you get into the whole next tier. Reggie White, of course. Ray Nitschke. I know. Well, it's a star-laden franchise. I mean, you could go on and on and on. At 1A and 1B, you don't even get to 2. And then 1C. Well, they have more Hall of Famers than any other team, don't they? I believe they do. Or wait, the Bears maybe. Yeah, I'd have to check on that. But they have a star-studded history as any. Which brings me to this topic that might seem like one of these little throwaway topics that we just go, yeah, yay, that's great. But I think it's actually a bit more important than that. A Forbes study, which I'm sure you've heard about by now, that ranked all 32 NFL team fan bases on a set of 5 criteria, ranks the Packers number 1. Oh, 26. Boy, they blow. Well, they don't blow us away. Chicago, 26. Green Bay, 21. The two most storied franchises, really. Well, they're the seminal franchises of the league, really. So I guess that's not really all that surprising. Yeah, Chicago does have more. Here's what they looked at. So they did this basically media measure of the strongest fan base. Hometown crowd reach, 3 years of television ratings, 3 years of home game attendance, percentage of capacity reached, 3 years of merchandise sales and social media reach, all combined to make the final rankings. So what percentage of the hometown audience listens to the game on the radio or watches it on TV, attends the game? Well, you know what's going to happen there with Green Bay. 3 years of merchandise sales and social media all combined to make the final ratings. The Packers topped the list in 3 of the 5 categories. 3 of the 5, and were no lower than 7th in any area. Forbes used Nielsen Scarborough Research, which I'm very familiar with Nielsen. I'm very familiar with the research, with the media research, as part of their data collection. Rounding out the top 5 in order were the Packers, the Broncos, the Saints, the Patriots, and the Ravens. Jason, are you surprised the Steelers are not in the top 5? I was stunned. I would have put them at 2. They just tend to... I think of them as mirror franchises. The study concluded... Did you hear the percentage? What percent of adults in Green Bay qualified as Packer fans? Did you hear the number, Jason? Take a guess. What percent of in this market, and by the way, it's the metropolitan area of 306,000. So that's the suburb, you know, the metropolitan Green Bay area. What percent did the study conclude are Packers fans? Look at you over there. 84%. Jason said 85. Do you know, I mean, can you imagine any franchise in any sport having that type of market saturation? I bet you this may be Pittsburgh. Yeah, I think, which is why I'm really, they must have done poorly in some of the other rankings. They are in the top 10. Seattle is a little new to success, but they've had rabid fans. Yeah, that surprised. But on the other hand, the teams that are there don't surprise me. The Broncos, Saints, Patriots, the Ravens, maybe. Okay, why is this a big deal and worth talking about on my show? Because it does show you, okay, a couple of things. When I talk Packers and we get the email or two, you're supposed to talk about politics all the time. I know because this is my show and I listen to it and you should talk about politics all the time. You should never talk about the Packers. I'm sorry, but you're in a very small minority. You are. The second thing is the financial impact of that kind of market saturation. Now, I think NFL franchises and the NFL should pay for their own stadium. I agree with that. And when you still look at what is a sore spot for many people, the 2000 referendum that created the stadium tax. But there is a pretty dramatic return on investment. Again, I don't think taxpayers should have to make that investment, but they chose to. As long as taxpayers choose to through referendum, they get to decide, unlike Miller Park, where it was thrust upon taxpayers and they did not get a vote and it wouldn't have passed. But it does show that the stereotype, the cliche, is true. And, of course, in large part because we are such a small market, and I think the novelty of a city, a metropolitan area, the size of Green Bay, having an NFL team will just never wear off. I drive by Lambeau Field all the time. And I marvel at it. Our company president was just in, which market was he in? He was visiting markets where we just acquired stations. And I think he was in Nashville. And he got that. Lambeau Field. That's on my bucket list. Do you know how many people around the country that's on their bucket list? I sat in the Green Monster at Fenway. Now, it was on a tour. It wasn't during a game. But that I'm still scratching that off my bucket list. For sports fans, that's bucket list. I would argue Lambeau Field's right there with Fenway or Wrigley or the Horseshoe or the Big House. You can go on and on. I would argue the new Soldier Field is not, the renovated Soldier Field. I think they blew it. I really do. You have a shrine in Green Bay. You can argue whether or not taxpayers should have renovated that shrine, but you have a shrine. And what these numbers do to me, it's still amazing how there are a lot of community leaders that want to get past the Packers. We need to be more than the Packers. We need to be more than the Packers. With 84% market saturation, yeah, I don't really think you do. I'm just throwing that out there. Am I being a little silly on that? I'm just throwing that out there. There is something that I blogged on. You know what? This came down. Yeah, this came down after the show on Tuesday, and then I was on a vacation day on Wednesday. Mary Burke is throwing something out there ad nauseum. Wisconsin's dead last in the Midwest in job growth. Wisconsin is dead last in the Midwest in job growth. Wisconsin is dead last in the Midwest in job growth. Jason, did you know Wisconsin is dead last in the Midwest in job growth? Guess what? They're not! We are not! For the first 7 months of 2014, we're middle of the pack. In fact, Illinois, the state that lefties in Wisconsin would so much like to be like, Illinois, is in fact dead last. Some of the energy states, North Dakota, Michigan, Indiana's right to work is better than we are. We are better than Iowa. We are better than Minnesota, better than Illinois. That talking point has been taken away from her, except you think the mainstream media will discuss, wow, you want to talk about an inconvenient truth. She has built her entire campaign around a talking point which says, Colin Roth put it right, Wisconsin. Boom goes the talking point. Just wanted to throw that out there. It's 8:54, as we do every day. It is time for the, well, most days. It is time for the Big Empty Update.
It's time for the Big Empty Update, day 37. Time to play Why Is Nothing Better Than Walmart? Mayor Schmidt idea number 403. Tired of those old tires just laying around in your yard? Tired of all those tires you see in ditches? Well, fret not. Now you can bring them to Green Bay's first ever tire farm. The tire farm will be a great place to bring those old worn out tires. Bring your marshmallows.
Great balls of fire.
Fires. Nightly.
Pretty.
Bring the kids. Gas masks not included. That was another edition of Why Is Nothing Better Than Walmart? Ask the mayor.
We will be asking the mayor. Now, you know, Jim Schmidt and I kind of buried the hatchet a little bit. He poured water over me for the ice bucket challenge. I invited him. It was a nice kumbaya moment. It was. I hope he didn't think that meant that we were going away on this. This is the time where I need to give Jason credit. Jason and the brilliant Victor Lyle are putting these together. Jason's doing a brilliant job too, by the way. I do one because I want people to think it's me. I want to give credit, and I want Jim to know it's you pooping on him. Wow. He's got, you know, spread the love. I want Jim to spread the hate. Jim doesn't hate me. I just an expression. A Sheboygan woman was badly beaten by her husband on their wedding night. I'm going to ask a judgmental question. Why the hell do women marry guys like that? Let's do that to start the next hour. It's 8:56.
If you still not refinance your mortgage, well, soon you may be kicking yourself in the head.